Well, praise the Lord. Another great day, another great time. We're glad to be here again, and I'm glad that you stuck around. Amen. That amazes me, but we're glad that you are. And that was really, I like that. I like that reading of that story. That is something. I learned something, and that's wonderful. Well, it's good to be here, and again, we're so thankful for the night. I can remember, I mentioned this morning that when I got here, of course, Pastor is gone, and then Brother Tricky got sick, and I was wondering if I should be here. I remember when I first went to Harvest to pastor 20-some years ago, my first Sunday, I had two of the deacons leave, and the finance guy was gone, and I was kind of wondered if they took the money and left, but anyway, it is good to be here. We're glad that you're here. If you have your Bible, we're going to get right into it. I don't know what time the service ends this afternoon. Can somebody give me about a time? A quarter past? Okay, very good. All right. Turn to, if you will, please, Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I spoke this morning on why you have a missions conference. Why do you have a month where you stress missions and missions giving? And of course, we realize because of the immensity of the mission, the world's population is increasing. We learned, of course, the insufficiency of the manpower. It seems like we're losing missionaries, and then others are not yielding. But we also learned that there is a key method of incorporating that, and it's to pray and ask the Lord to send in those laborers. Well, this afternoon, I want to talk about how you're going to do that. How are you going to continue doing it? What's involved in doing more for missions this year than you have in the past? Well, Numbers chapter 14, or 13, excuse me. And I think I'm going to jump over to chapter 14 for time's sake. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please, out of respect for the word as I read, starting in verse number 1. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel." Let's pray, shall we? Father, once again, I thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for the good things that we've had today, Lord, the wonderful story that we just read from Pilgrim's Progress. Lord, for the way the boys and girls responded, for the wonderful meal that was downstairs and the fellowship, and Lord, for the attentiveness of your people. Lord, we could close the service now, go home, and we have certainly been blessed. But Lord, in the next few moments, once again, Holy Spirit, we need you. Lord, I pray that God, you'd give us direction, give us words. Help us, Lord, to only say that which you'd have us to say and in the way that you'd have us to say it. And then, Lord, I pray for open hearts and open ears that, Lord, today, not because of who this preacher is, but because of the word of God, that great things would be accomplished. And we praise you, we thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If the story that we just read, of course, is mostly familiar. I didn't read all of it, but that was, of course, the children of Israel coming to the promised land, and they sent out the spies. The spies came back with a report, and we know the results of that. There was a negative report, and two gave a positive report that we can go and we can possess the land. And the reason that they did not go in, if I asked you this afternoon, what were they lacking, you would probably say they were lacking in faith. They lacked the faith of God to do what God had said to do. And in fact, that's true. But it also is greater than that. You see, faith has a foundation. Faith is based upon what I believe. I have a car out here, And I believe if I go out right now and put my foot on the brake and push the little button on the dash, it's going to start. Why? Because it's done it in the past. I have a belief that it's going to do it. And faith is based upon what I truly believe about God. Well, I think we would agree that once we're saved, God's desire is that he wants to work in our lives. He wants us to become better for him. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. That's why we spend time in the Word of God. That's why we spend time in prayer. It's like communication back and forth, a two-way. We want to have that relationship with him. He invites us, of course, and gives us that wonderful privilege of working with him, getting involved in a ministry, a service, doing something for the cause, and so that we can be better for him. And then, of course, he gives us the Holy Spirit to reveal himself, his purpose, and all the rest. And so we come to this idea then, when we're facing missions, what am I going to do? What do I really believe that God wants me to do? Now, let me ask you, or give you a few statements. If I truly believe that God knows what he's doing, and if I truly believe that he can do what he says he will do, take care of me, provide for me, and all the rest, and that he really knows what is best for my life in this matter of getting involved in faith promise missions, and if that cause is worth my giving of myself and what I have to that cause, then I can answer the call as God impresses upon me what to do for missions. I will answer that in a positive way and be found faithful. Isn't that right? And accomplish what I'm supposed to do. But if I get to the place where I really doubt those things, then when that Holy Spirit begins to impress upon me, well, I want you to trust me a little bit more this year. Then if I really don't believe those things, I will not follow through with it. Take your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 11. Very familiar, of course, to us. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. But I want you to look at verse number 6. And we're familiar with that probably as well. But it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. We know that. We're saved by faith through grace. We're living, the just shall live by faith. We understand that. So without faith and trust in God, it's impossible to please him. But notice what it says. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So my faith in God is based upon my belief of who God is and what God can do. The greater my belief in who he is, the greater my faith in accomplishing what God wants me to do. At 70 years or 73 years old, God said, okay, it's time for you to cease preaching and to go into missions. All right. No support, no livelihood. And all the rest, we live on Social Security. That's what comes in, and you know what that is. That's steak and lobster every meal. But we're trusting the Lord. You see, I believe if God called me, God's going to sustain me. He's going to meet my need. Can I share something with you? And I'm not asking for anything. I want that to be clear. I'm not asking for anything. I just want to share this because of what God has done in my life. Last year, we go to, our mission board has a European missions retreat every year, had been for many years. We went last, we've gone 20 times. And so last year, we resigned, we retired, no income. And so we talked it over, said, well, what do you think about the missions retreat this year? And we prayed about it, and we felt, well, we're supposed to go. We ought to be there. We're part of the mission board. And so we started praying, and as you know, everything's going up. And so we looked at airfare, and it was going to cost us $1,200 to fly round trip. So went ahead and bought the tickets on the old credit card, and no idea how we're going to pay for it. Shortly after that, we had a field administrators meeting out in Ward, Arkansas, Went out, we preached one time while we were there to the group, the church, and then had meetings and whatever. And the last night, the pastor handed me an envelope, a love gift, and then we got in the car and started to the hotel, and I handed it to my wife, and I said, what's in the envelope? And she opened it up, $1,200. Now, that's unusual. Now, I'm not asking for $1,200, all right? So that took care of our airfare. Well, we had to rent a car. I had I'd always have to have a car to travel around. And so that was going to cost over $800 for 2 weeks that we're there. And so I said, well, we'll wait. We're going to pray about it. Well, my pastor at that time came up to me and said, guess what, Brother Moore? And I said, I don't know what. He said, our church is going to send us with you to the retreat. I said, well, that's wonderful. He said, and we're going to take care of the rental car. Well, there you are, all right? So that's the second one. So we're going to stay 1 week after the retreat and travel around, show them some missionary things, areas. And so I had to reserve hotels and motels and things. So that came to $740. I said, well, okay, well, Lord's been good so far. So I went down and I preached for a Sunday morning down in a little church down in Virginia. And after the service, I started out the hallway to be in the vestibule to greet people. And on the way out, a lady stepped out and shook my hand and put something in it. And I stuck that in my pocket. Went a little further, and a man stepped out in the hallway and shook my hand, put something in it. I put that in my pocket. Now, I don't care how spiritual you are. When that happens to you, and you can act really spiritual, you know, saying, oh, but the whole time you're saying, man, where can I go to look and see what that was? But anyway, so I get to the vestibule, and I'm standing there, and the pastor comes out and hands me an envelope, and I put that in my pocket. And we got in the car, headed to the restaurant to eat, and so I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out all that and handed it to Bonnie, and I said, what was there? She said, well, you got two $50 bills and a one $100 bill. I said, wow, wasn't that a blessing? And so I handed her the envelope. I said, well, what's in there? Now, remember, how much did I need for those hotels? $740. In the envelope was a check from the church for $500. And I don't know if somebody had gotten to the treasurer or what, but somebody had put two $20 bills in that envelope as well, came up to exactly $740. Our trip was completely taken care of. You see, we had a belief that God wanted us to go. We had a belief that God would provide beyond what we could do. And by faith, that belief brought us to the place where we, by faith, trusted God. We acted before we knew what was coming in, and God blessed our faith, our belief in Him, by taking care of it. You see, that's my God. That's what God can do. And that's when we get to this matter of faith promise. Faith promise is not me mystifying some number way out here someplace and trying to say, well, that's what I'm doing. Faith promise, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it's out of what we have. All He's asking is that we take a little bit more and give to Him, trusting that He'll make what we have left to last longer. And my God can do that. Amen? My God is a God like that. So I want to talk a little bit about this belief and how do we build it. Well, we know the source of faith, do we not? My Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad for this Bible that I hold in my hand. As I read through it, and I read those Old Testament stories of how God blessed, how He met needs, how He provided, how He led, I want you to know that's my God today. It is the same God, and His power has not diminished, at least not one bit. God has all that He needs to have, and He's willing to share it with those who will be willing to trust Him and believe that He'll do it. Faith is the result of our lives being filled with the Word of God. You see, the more I meditate, the more I read, the more I study, the more I get a hold of this book will get a hold of me, and my faith will increase the more I know about this book and about my God. I think some of the things that reasons that Christians struggle is because they don't spend the time with the Word of God and get God's whole help in their heart. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You see, the whole key is being filled with the Word of God, letting this Word of God get into our hearts and lives. Then faith comes from God's Word being fulfilled in our lives. As I read what God has done in the past, and I say, boy, that was wonderful. I'm glad that he got answered the prayer and got Peter out of prison, or that he got Paul and Silas out of prison. And I see how he provided for the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness and all. Oh, those are wonderful things, but can he do it today? Well, at that little handful on purpose, as he gave that money for us to go to the missions retreat and provided every step of the way, I want you to understand that strengthened my faith to trust him even more. Over all of these years, as the Word of God has come into our lives and if we've trusted him and he's provided for us, I want you to understand he just keeps blessing and we just keep growing both ways. That's my God. When I got out of the Navy, as I said in the early service, we received nothing from that. We spent 15 years, and they were saying, when I walked out, thank you and goodbye. And that was it. But we sent two girls to Christian high school. We put two girls through Christian's college. We've met all of our bills and everything else. And those things constantly build our faith, to trust him even more for what's coming up in the time ahead. D.L. Moody said this one time, "If all the time I spent praying for faith was put together, it would be months. I thought that someday faith was going to come down and strike me like lightning, but faith did not come. One day I read the 10th chapter of Romans, where it said, 'So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.' I had in the past closed my Bible and prayed for faith. Now I open my Bible and begin to read God's word, and faith has been growing ever since." You see, the more I see what God has done and what God will do and the power that he has, listen, whatever I need, if I'm doing what God wants me to do and in the place and the way that God wants me to do it, my God will take care of me, and he'll do the same for you, and the whole way that he'll bless us the whole way, all the way through. I mean, it's amazing. I remember when I was still in the Navy, we were new Christians, and my wife, because of the situation, the finances, she began to babysit, I think, five or six boys and girls and had them in the house. And we had some bills coming due, and I can remember that morning I got on my knees before my bed, before I went to the base, and I prayed and I said, "Lord, I need $100 today. Lord, I don't know where it's coming from, but I need $100 to take care of these bills." And I went off to the work, and at the end of the day, I came home, and my wife stood there, and she said, "Guess what happened today?" And I said, "I don't know." She said, "One of the children that she was babysitting for, the parents were going through a difficult financial time, and so she had made an arrangement with them ahead of time, this was a long time before, that she would reduce the cost of what it would provide, the child care, and so I didn't know that, I wasn't aware of it, but that day that man, the husband, came back to the house and said, "I understand you made an arrangement with my wife to reduce the cost." He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, things have gotten better, and we want to make up the difference." And he handed her five $20 bills, which was the $100 that I needed. You see, my God works in mysterious ways, and he already had arranged all of that for us. You see, when I have trusted God, I pray God, God answers that prayer, it fulfills and builds my life up a little bit more. Now I want you to notice the object of faith. Our faith is not based upon the concept, a concept or an idea. It's based upon a person. It's based upon the person of God himself. That is the whole object of our faith. You see, if I trusted in the government to meet my needs, I'm going to really be hurting. Amen. If I trusted in Miss Debbie to meet my needs, she, well, you heard that. All right. But she might want to, she might desire to, but she's limited. But I'm glad I have a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills, and he owns everything, and there is nothing impossible for him. He is the object of all that I have and all that I ever need. He is the one who will meet my need. George Mueller, that wonderful old fella in England that was lived by faith in such a way, he said this: faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. What I can't do, I have to trust God to do. What I'm not able to do, I have to trust God to do. When we were stationed in Virginia Beach years ago, needed a part-time job, and so I went to Sears and applied, and they said, okay, we could use you as a salesman in the hardware department. And so they hired me, and I went home and told my wife, I got a job. I'm going to be a salesman in the hardware department. And she looked at me, and she said, do you think you can do it? Because I'm an introvert. I don't like people. No, I like people, but I have a hard time interacting with people. It's not my nature. And she was concerned about that. Well, when the Lord called me, and I talked with my wife about it, and I appreciate her honesty, she said, you know what that means? You're going to have to stand up in front of people. I said, well, really? And I can remember the first time I stood up in front of people to preach. I stood over my Bible. I read everything. I never looked out like this. I had sweat pouring down, dripping onto my pages. And I said, I don't know if God's called me. But you know what? I prayed about that. And the reason I can stand behind a pulpit today and preach is because of God. You see, God can do everything. Where man's power ends, God takes over. And that's what I need to do, is when I think about my faith promise giving, it's not what I can do. It's not how much I can give. It's what God can do when I do give it. And trust him through it all. We need to trust him. Moses could not deliver the Israelites from Pharaoh's army. Moses could not part that sea and get the Israelites across on dry ground. But he had to trust God and believe that God had called him to do it. And all he had to do was stand where God told him to stand, do what God told him to do, and God would perform the miracle. And that's what we need to do. Joshua could not have taken those Israelites across the Jordan River on dry ground. He could not part that raging river. And take down those walled cities. He could not have defeated the enemies of the Israelites and make the sun to stand still, but he knew a God who could and who had called him to do it. And that's what we need to realize in this matter of faith promise. How am I going to take care? What can this church do greater next year than we've done this year, you've done this year for missions? It's by having a real belief in what God can and wants to do through you. That's what it is. I like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, where it says, faithful is he that called you who will also do it. If he calls you, if he lays it on your heart, he'll do it. Amen. And then the evidence or the nature of faith, you know, faith grows with use, doesn't it? It's a muscle. Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 17 real fast. Luke chapter 17. If I can get there. Luke chapter 17, look at verse 5 and 6. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Wouldn't you like to have your faith increased? I mean, boy, you know, I saw that, read that years ago. I began to ask that same thing. Lord, increase my faith, increase my faith. Notice what he says in verse 6. It says, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, what's happening here? The fact is Jesus responds to the disciples' request here by saying the problem wasn't that they needed more faith. What they needed to do was to use the faith that they had. Just use the faith that you have. In other words, there's different degrees of faith. The only faith, listen to this statement, the only faith that God can respond to is the faith that is used. So if I have a little faith and a little belief in God, but I'm going to trust him, that faith God can honor. If I have a great faith and a great belief in God, and I still do what God's going to honor it. The only faith that God can respond to is the faith that is used. Remember, when you got saved, it was that faith as a grain of mustard seed, so small, but to believe in Jesus and what he had done on the cross for us. And by that belief in who he was and what he's done, you acted upon that in faith. And that's exactly what he wants us to do here. I wish we had time to look at these passages of Scripture. I'm going to give them to you, and you can look them up. Mark chapter 9, verse 17 through 24. Here we find that Jesus cast out a mute spirit from a son whose father wavered between faith and doubt. But he used a little bit of faith and trusted. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, Jesus healed a leper who was not sure that he would do it, but he still went to him and asked him to heal him. In that little bit of faith, God responded to. In Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 10, Jesus, the servant of the centurion was so sure that Jesus would able to heal that he said, just speak a word. He had a great faith and a great belief in who Jesus was. It didn't take a lot. He just trusted the Lord and it was done for him. See, the ultimate goal is to develop our faith and to strengthen our faith as we trust him more and more, have a greater belief in who he is. That's why we need to be in church. That's why we need to be in the Bible. That's why we need to be in fellowship with him, so that our faith will grow, that our belief in who he is and what he's done in the past, he can still do today. Amen. He can still move mountains. My obedience and what God has called us to do today, or me today, will prepare me for what he has got for me tomorrow, as I serve him and keep on serving him. I'm looking forward to the day when I stand before him, and I'm hoping, I'm praying, my greatest desire is that I might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I hope and I trust that. Because of the majority of the people of the Israelites back then had failed to respond by a real belief and a trust and a faith in God to obey the call of God in the past, they were not ready to enter in to the wonderful promised land. Joshua and Caleb had prepared themselves, and due to their obedience to God in the past, they were allowed to enter in. This quote, I don't know where I found it, but it's wonderful. It says, faith to move mountains is the reward of those who have by faith moved little hills. When you move a little hill by faith and you see what God can do, it'll strengthen your faith to move a greater mountain, a greater trust in him. So what's the evidence of faith? James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. Faith. Oh, we can say, oh, I believe in the Lord. I believe in his power. I believe in what he can do. I believe he has all ability. The evidence of faith is doing, putting into practice, allowing that to be evident in our lives. This month, you're going to see a lot of needs from missionaries. You're going to hear a lot of needs. Praise the Lord for the missionary letters that were read today and how God is blessing. And that's evidence of an investment. But what does God want out of New Testament Baptist Church for this next year? And it's all dependent upon what I truly believe about God. What can he do? What is this, the call, the time, the opportunity? And what a privilege it is to have a part in investing in world missions. I pray, God, that you will be an open heart. I pray that your faith, your trust, your belief will grow. And I pray that through this year, we'll hear more great things accomplished for missions and souls saved around the world because of what you've done here in this conference or through this month. Father, thank you today for the privilege it has been to be here again. Lord, this is a wonderful church with wonderful people. And I believe with all my heart their desire is to accomplish wonderful things, Lord, not for them, but that you would be honored and praised and glorified. And Lord, what it's going to take is there's a stronger belief, a greater knowledge, a greater trust in who you are, what you're called them to do, what you will enable them to do, and that by faith they will respond. Bless them, I pray. Help them in this time of month to earnestly seek and pray and ask, Lord, what you would have them to do, trusting you that we can hear from this church great things in the days to come. Bless now, we pray. Go with us this afternoon as we leave. Give us safety in our journeys home. And then, Lord, for the week ahead, just bless it, would you please. And we'll praise you. We thank you. And above all, we want you to know we love you. In Jesus' name.